Have your Bible with you. Open to Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew chapter number 19. This is my devotional reading for Thursday, I believe it was. But I had a thought in my heart. I felt like the Lord had been dealing with me. I've been looking at because of Vacation Bible School and the thought of boys and girls coming. Over all the years, I could not count how many boys and girls through bus ministry and Vacation Bible School and Sunday School and Awanas have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you in here this morning have attended before a Vacation Bible School? Would you raise your hand? And you look at the great number, and a lot of them with white hair like I've got. I think there's something to be said for investing a week in the lives of boys and girls and the Word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, and it will not return void. That's the blessed thing about it. The Word of God will produce fruit in lives. And that doesn't mean that they are going to be perfect. None of us have been perfect. We've all made mistakes, took a few detours from time to time. But I'm glad He's a God of grace. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. Brother Barry this morning was reading about the grace of God and that I'll be with you. What a blessed combination, the grace of God and the presence of God all at the same time. I want you to have your Bibles open to Matthew 19. Well, hold your place there. Then turn over to the book of Mark chapter 10. We have the Gospels, the four Gospels. Three of them are what we call synoptic Gospels. That means that they're very similar. They give similar stories, but almost invariably they give a little bit different detail. And the Holy Spirit of God chose to do it that way. And I want to read, first of all, in the book of Matthew, and I'll begin reading for the sake of time this morning. Would you look down at verse number 13, Matthew 19 and verse 13. I had thought that I might would read this whole passage of Scripture because in the first part, he's dealing with that subject of divorce. They ask him about divorce. And so he's dealing with that subject of divorce. And after that comes that section about the rich young ruler, the man who had so many possessions, and he came to the Lord and said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That was prompted by the story I'm going to read to you. And he said, you'd keep the commandments. And he listed a few. And he said, I've kept all those from my youth up, from the time I was little. He said, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And the Bible says he went away sorrowful, for he had great riches. And the Lord says it's very difficult for a rich man to get saved. Why? Because mammon, money, has become his God, his obsession. And when they need God, they're turned to him, look to him. But he didn't feel like he needed God. He had money. But money has a way of growing wings and flying away. You can put it in a bag, it has holes in it, and it goes on out. That's what the Bible said. And so you need something that will last for all eternity. But couched in the middle of him dealing with the subject of divorce and dealing with the subject of salvation is a little story. And notice what it says in verse 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Now turn over, if you will, please, to the book of Mark. In Mark chapter 10, a recording of the same passage of Scripture, or the same situation. And I begin reading once again in verse number 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and rebuke them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God would help us today in this wonderful story, a historical event. And Lord, it reveals something of the heart of our God toward men and women, and particularly boys and girls. And Father, I pray God, the Holy Ghost of God would help us to see the great value that you place upon children. And Father, I pray now that, Lord, that you'd help me. God, give me your anointing. Lord, I'm blessed that I could bow before you this morning and confess that there's no good thing in me. But God, I'm thankful for your salvation. Thank you for calling me to preach. And I pray now, God, for that anointing that'll make the difference. And God, I pray you'd speak to people. God, speak to my heart, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. In reading through the Gospels and seeing how busy our Lord is, he goes from city to city, village to village, and they begin to throng him. When he begins to touch and bless and heal, the word spreads quickly and they all come, and they're all manner diseases. And I read and I mark in my Bible, and he healed them, and he healed them, and he healed them. And then I got to look at it, and I wanted to put an exclamation point by everyone, and he healed them. I'm glad that whatever your problem is, if you come to him, he can help you with it. I'm glad he'll take compassion, and he's got the power to change and to make brand new and to heal. And he did that. But now in this particular passage, there's a little scenario here I want you to look at. And I thought about three little words that might help us to remember. And I'm dealing primarily this morning with the thought of the value of a child. The Bible says that children are the heritage of the Lord. Or that is much like the word inheritance. It has to do with treasure. And so children are the treasure of the Lord. He entrusts us with treasure. And he treasures children. He put great emphasis on them. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, now are we the children of God. He addresses us as children. Sometimes he says to them, little children. He identifies us as his children. There's a great value in the Word of God placed on children. I thought about the situation in our nation with abortions. And some time ago, I gave you some statistics on the money that's spent and what it costs to have an abortion. And I think about the value of a child. How much is that child worth? If you are here this morning and you know the Lord, of course, most of you here, you have children. If I'd ask you, how much is your child worth? You'd say they're priceless. You wouldn't take any amount of money for your children. They're priceless. They're great treasure, and they'd be greatly treasured. But that means all children. I believe he feels that way about every child, red or yellow, black or white. They are precious in his sight. And when we see them, and Regina and I in traveling, we've been to the Philippines on two different occasions. We've been to Germany. We've been in a lot of different states and been into Mexico and other places. And you know what we've noticed? Children are children. At a certain age, when they begin to be toddlers, they all sound just alike. They laugh. They make little sounds. They don't have a vocabulary yet, but they make sounds. And there's no difference, regardless of what nationality or what color they are. They're children. They act like children. They just they're that way. And so they're valuable in the sight of God. But I want you to notice just three little thoughts in this passage of Scripture. Number one, the children were brought to the Lord, and then they were blocked by some, but then they were blessed by the Savior. Three little B's this morning, they were brought. In the first place, I want you to think about this. Somebody cared. The Bible says in both occasions that somebody brought them. They brought young children, or they brought children. Somebody brought them. Somebody cared about them. I don't know if many of them had physical infirmities. I don't know if they had any infirmities at all. It may be that they just knew that the Savior had something different about him, and that he showed compassion and kindness, and that people were blessed, and they wanted their children to experience the blessing of the Lord. But they brought them. And I'll tell you what an emphasis it ought to be on me and you to bring children to the Lord, to bring them. You as a parent, you ought to bring them physically into the presence of the Lord. I think it's important to be in the house of God, be in Sunday school, be in Awanas, be around. But that's true of every one of you. When I was pastoring down in Florida, I did a whole year's in the bulletin of subject I would preach. I don't normally do that because I don't want the devil to know what I'm doing. But I was going to deal with things that accompany salvation. And with that, I had word like sanctification and justification, all those things, all those Bible terms. And it was going to be like 6 months. I put in the bulletin what I'd preach every Sunday for the next 6 months. We had a lady come into our church, an elderly lady who was very faithful. She had been a school teacher at one time. Her and her husband owned a dairy farm. And she began to come to our church. She knew the Lord, joined the church, became very active in our church. But her husband, he was a hard one. He wouldn't come. He was a good man, moral man, but he just didn't care anything about religion at all. And so when she went home one Sunday and she had that bulletin, the very first Sunday I put it out, and when he picked it up and looked at it, they were having lunch together. He looked down through there and he said, "You know, I think I'll go on Sunday. I'd like to know what these words mean." And she came to me and she was so excited. And when she told me he was coming, I said, "Well, I'll tell you one thing. I believe God will speak to his heart." She said, "Why do you believe that?" I said, "Because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If he'll come and consistently be under a place where people are praying for him and consistently listen to the word of God, it will help them. It'll change them. And he will come in a conviction. I believe God will save him." And sure enough, God saved the man. And the Lord did a work in his heart and life. I'm thankful for that. God did. And listen, you bring your children, get them physically under the Sunday school teachers, under the Awana workers, get them in the house of God. It teaches them the importance of the truth of the Word of God. And there again, bring them not only physically into the presence of the Lord, not that the Lord just lives here, you understand what I'm saying, but you bring them to where God's people are. And then you ought to bring them by example to the Lord. You're not going to live one way and try to point them to Jesus. You're not going to live one way and tell them to do what I say and not what I do. You'll bring children to the Lord if you live a godly example in front of them. You be faithful to the Lord, faithful to the church, faithful to the Word of God. You treat your family right. They'll watch it in you. They'll see it in you. Will they rebel? Oh, yeah, they'll rebel. There's times they all rebel. But I'm going to tell you, you live that example in front of them. Years ago, our pastor told a story about a man one time, his wife for some reason had to be gone and he was taking care of the children. The only problem was he wasn't a Christian and he was a drunkard. He drank. But she trusted him for just one night to keep the children. And so he got them all tucked in bed, and when he thought they were all asleep, he slipped out of the back door. It was wintertime and cold and snowing, and he went down not very far, but he left the house and went down to a bar. And got into the bar, was sitting in there drinking, and all of a sudden, the guys in the bar began to laugh. And when he turned around and looked, this little fella was standing there, his little son was standing in the door with his pajamas on and his teddy bear in his hand. And the man jumped up and he said, "Boy, how'd you get here?" He said, "It was easy, Daddy. I just stepped where you stepped in the snow." And they're going to follow you step by step by step. They're not going to know so much what you say, but what you live. You bring your children to the Lord by godly example. You bring them by earnest prayer. You need to bathe them in prayer every day. Pray for God. Pray for God to save them. Pray for God to do a work in their heart and life. And you know what Paul said? Paul said of that church, he said, "I travail for you now once again in prayer till you be brought into the fullness of Christ." He said they got saved. He prayed for them to get saved, earnestly prayed they'd get saved. But then he travailed like a woman giving birth after they got saved to grow in the Lord. And so you won't pray till they get saved and then quit. You'll just get started then, because there'll be times that they, like the prodigal son, will be wayward. And you just keep praying and just keep praying and just keep praying and leave the door open. So when they come back, they'll know that you'll love them and you love them the whole time. And they're welcome to come back. But these children were brought to the house, to the presence of the Lord. Let me encourage you to have your kids to help you, to get other kids in the neighborhood to bring them to Vacation Bible School. I'm going to tell you, I learned years ago in the bus ministry, I can go out and invite boys and girls to come. But what I love to do is get some kids to go with me. You pull up in a neighborhood with a bunch of kids on a bus, let them jump out, give them some armor with some bubble gum or whatever, and you get them to go invite other kids to come and go to Sunday school on the bus. They'll come. They'll pack that bus out. And when these kids get motivated to bringing others with them, you get your children to help you get their neighbors and friends. You may not reach mom and dad. They may not, you talk to you blue in the face, you can't get them to come to church. But if you get those kids and get the kids coming, then they'll come. You pray earnestly for them. Then you get these children involved in helping you bring other children to Vacation Bible School and to Awana's and to the other ministry, and you bring them. I love that thought of bringing them into the presence of the Lord. My wife has often given her testimony about her daddy. Her daddy didn't go to church, but he was raised in church. But he wanted her to go, and so he would go and take her and drop her off. And one Sunday morning, I believe it was, she said to him, "Daddy, I don't want you to take me. I want you to go." And God used her testimony that morning, and he turned around and looked at his wife and said, "I'm going to get my clothes on." And she said, "Yeah, get me some clothes." He said, "Get me some clothes." And she said, "You get your own clothes. I'm going too." And they both ended up in church and became godly teachers and sang in the choir and sang specials and everything because of Regina's witness to her own mom and dad. Can I tell you, they were brought. You bring your children to the house of God. Bring them. Don't send them. Bring them. Bring them. Come and be with them. And listen, God will bless you. But look, notice what happened. They were blocked. It says that when they came, they brought them to Jesus, verse 13, Mark chapter 10 is where I'm at, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. In another place, they hindered them. They blocked them. They wouldn't stop. They blocked them from coming to Jesus. Oh, listen, as I thought about that passage of Scripture, here are these men that God's called to carry the gospel in all the whole world, and they're not wanting these boys and girls to come to Jesus. I couldn't hardly believe that. They didn't want him. They denied him the touch of the Master's hand. Can you imagine that? Just wouldn't let them come. Didn't want them to get close to Jesus. They were denying them the touch of the Master's hand. He was denying them the blessings that God might bestow upon them. They didn't want him to have it. Maybe they didn't realize what they were doing. But they were blocking these kids from an opportunity of a lifetime. This was God incarnate in human flesh. And he would receive them, but they didn't want them to come into his presence. What a horrible thing that you would want to keep boys and girls from Jesus. But you do that sometimes unknowingly. You ignore them. You don't have a passion for them. You don't bathe them in prayer and block them. You block them by not being active in trying to reach them, to get the gospel to them, share the word of God with them. And there's all kind of problems, unique problems, working with boys and girls. They're not, and adults have got plenty of problems of their own, but when you work with boys and girls, you have all kinds of situations. And some people just don't like the discomfort of working with boys and girls. And can I tell you something about boys and girls? They are here three times as much as adults. You're sitting right there looking at me right now and making me think you're listening to every word I've said. And I know your heart is somewhere else. Your mind is somewhere else. And just now, you think he's reading my mind. No, I'm not reading your mind. I just know how you are. But a kid can be playing with paper. He could be doing this, that, and the other. And when you ask him something, he can tell you exactly what I said. They're unique in that way. They hear things, they see things that you don't think they ever hear and see. They pick up on it. But these men were blocking them from the blessings of the Lord. Oh, I thought about it. What an awful thing that is to think about keeping them. I suppose they just kept them away and they never did come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Boy, I'd hate to face that at judgment seat. This morning, Brother Barry read 1 Corinthians about the judgment seat of Christ. I'd hate to stand before Christ and say that I blocked him. Notice something else about this blocking. It says he, Jesus, was much displeased. He was displeased by the action of his disciples. In other words, Jesus is not pleased with people that don't want children to come to Jesus. I've had people to tell me, Brother Billy, we don't need all these children in the church. We can't, not here, but other places. When we had bus ministers and everything else, and these children, we can't handle them all. We don't need all these children. And they disrupt the services and all those type things. And some of that's true. But they need to be in the presence of God. They need to be in the presence. We started on Wednesday night. Some of you don't ever come on Wednesday night. But if you come in here, on Wednesday morning, we have great services. Wednesday night, we have great services. But what we felt like the Lord laid on my heart to do is when we started summer, I wanted to get all of everybody out of the youth group and out of the Brother Pistol's class and young kids and everybody to come in the auditorium just before 8 o'clock. And we all get around the altar and pray. And God laid that on my heart. And because I wanted these children to see adults kneeling, and the teenagers, they come and kneel, and the kids come and kneel. And you say, well, Brother Billy, while we are praying, a lot of times they're looking around. How'd you know that? Do they look around? Yeah. But they're not seeing people hold a beer in the hand. They're not seeing people look at pornography. They're seeing people who've walked with God and served God and love God and know that right there is where you can get some help. And they're watching. They're watching. Children, you can block them from coming to Christ. Let's don't block them because of what it might do to them, but because it displeases Jesus when we don't make an effort to get them saved. But then notice, not only they were brought and they were blocked, but notice something else. They were blessed. When Jesus had rebuked them, he took those children up, and the Bible says he took them up in his arms and he blessed them. He put his hands on them and blessed them. Those hands that are now in heaven, those hands that have nail prints in them. There's a small group of children right here that those hands were placed on them. The hands that touched a leper made him white as snow. The hand that lifted the lame. The hand that touched blind eyes and they could see. The hand of the Master was put on these children. What a blessing. I got to thinking about these kids. I don't know how old they were. One place it says the children, maybe they were our children's church age. Maybe they were infants. I don't know how old they were. But the time frame, Jesus is about 33 years old, somewhere in that range. If you have a Bible that has any kind of chronological dating in it, and it's not always reliable, I know. But if you look, when you come over to the book of Acts and end of Acts and Romans and such as that and the epistles, you're now in the 60s and 70s. Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. And some of those children that he held in his hand in the early days of the church became teenagers and young adults. And some of the Bible was written after they were in their 20s and 30s. And these guys that tried to block them would cause them for missing that. I don't know what the blessing was. He took them up in his arms and he blessed them. If they were sick or infirm, no doubt they were healed. But what was the other blessing? Was it a blessing of faith? Was it a blessing of love? Was it a blessing of a hedge to be put around their life to keep them from sin? Was it a special call on their life? It could be that some of the unnamed people in the book of the epistles of Paul, people that were there, people got saved, when it says a number or many or whatever, could have been them. Some of the people that their names are even in those latter epistles could have been one of those little boys or one of those little girls there. And they had the experience of being held in the arms of Jesus and touched by his hand. My thought is this morning, they were valuable to him. They were precious to him. They were so valuable to him that he blessed them, so valuable to him that he rebuked his disciples. So precious to him, no doubt he applauded and blessed those who brought them. The Lord Jesus Christ blessed these children, placed his hands on them, and held them in his arms. What a blessed place of refuge to bring a child to. You take them to good educators, you take them to good doctors, but to bring them to the master of the universe, for him to hold them in his arms and lay his hand upon them and bless them. What a thought. Amen. But can I say to you, that's not just true of children, it's true of anybody. He said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. If you'll come to him, he's able to save to the uttermost. He's able to touch you, change you, use you for his glory. No telling what God would do for you 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, what you may become, what you'll be. But for the rest of their lives, these little children, if they were old enough to have any type of reason at all, will remember that they met the Master that day and he changed their life forever. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? I know that's very, very simplistic this morning, but that's what God put on my heart. I wonder how you feel about children, not just your children, your grandchildren, but children in general. Do you look at them and wonder what they'll be? Quite often I hear of an 18-year-old who commits some horrible crime, maybe perhaps murder. And it's not so far from 10 and 12 years old or 8 years old. I mean, just 10 years for you and I who are old, 10 years is nothing. But I wonder about an 18-year-old who does that. I wonder if when they were children, if somebody had brought them to Sunday school. And if mom and daddy wouldn't bring them and grandma wouldn't bring them, that some loving, caring church member knew about children in their neighborhood that wasn't in church, and they'd go and talk to them and invite them to church and ask the mom and dad, could I take your children to our Sunday school, to our WANA program? I believe that would please the Lord if we did that. And I wonder, does it displease him when we don't make an effort to help to get them to Jesus? Our Heavenly Father, this morning, I'm thankful that God, when we come to you, we become a child of the King. And you said that unless a person became as a little child, they could no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Simple faith. Simply believing. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to your mercy, you saved us. You said you'd save all to the uttermost. And whosoever will may come, and whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God, I pray that childlike faith would be given to somebody here this morning, that by simple childlike faith, they'd believe the word of God, that if you called on him, he'd save you, make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And God, I pray, God, that you'd help us to understand your value of a child, how important they are. In spite of all that was going on in the life of our Savior, he took time to hold children and to bless them. God, I pray we'll take special notice of them, love them, do all we can to help to win those that we are acquainted with, those that are kin, but then those that we don't know, to do perhaps what their family will not do, but bring them to Jesus. God, you know what you want to do. I simply came this morning to obey you, and I pray the Holy Ghost of God would help somebody this morning to exhibit childlike faith and believe in what you said, that if they'd give their heart to Jesus, they could be saved.